Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is Monday. Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Best day of the week.
The past month has just felt like weird. I don't know. Lots of days off of school for the kids, plus lots of holidays equals like, what day of the week is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. I finally feel like I'm getting back into my groove, like back into the gym, back into like regular cadence of things. It feels good.
Interesting that you feel like you're getting back into it. Michael and I are like, where's the sun? What day is it? I feel it's like 2 degrees or -2 degrees here today in Denver and it's snowing. So I'm a little bundled in, you know. What's up, Jeremy? Jeremy Weiss, one of our loyalist listeners out in Israel. Thank you for tuning in. What's the weather like for you guys? I'm very curious. You know, Brandy, the Miami Dolphins had to leave their beautiful 85 degree weather and get destroyed in like -27 with like wind chills.
Not a good showing for the home team. It's a chilly like 75 right now. So
chilly,
I know, keep us in your thoughts as we make it through these difficult times.
Will, I'm really proud of you for a football reference because I know how much you don't watch sports.
Yeah. Well, I was watching it last week with my buddies and, you know, I was surprised that they would go from 85 degree weather to however cold it was, -4, -whatever. I feel like that was an unfair game, you know?
Well, so that's why you have to win those games at the end of the season to make sure you have home field advantage.
Yeah, seriously. Anyways, fun way to kick it off. But to also kick it off, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts. We had a very busy week on the podcast in general, from the Operto DAC acquisition to the AirDNA and uplisting acquisition to our hotel crew covering certain news and stories like the Alaska Airlines doors being blown off and going into
inspection.
That was
wild.
Yeah, just like all these things, right? So we had about 4 episodes go live last week. It was very busy. So for all of our listeners, one, did you even catch all of the news and stories that we were able to put out, or do we need to do a recap? And two, do you guys feel like we're going to continue to see a busier start of the year, or is this just kind of like how everyone's starting really strong and it's going to like fizzle back?
I'm hoping the year isn't as news heavy as last week was. That's a lot. 2 companies going out of business.
Yeah.
Your company's getting acquired and literally doors getting blown off of airplanes. That's why you wear seatbelts, folks, especially
for real,
if you're sitting right by the door. So that one is a bit scary as I'm getting on a plane tomorrow, but that's okay. I can't imagine it's going to continue on this way. And you know, we know that some of those things have been in the works for quite some time. It's just a matter of,
yeah,
when do you announce it? No one wants to announce anything during the holidays. So the first week back is going to is going to be more newsworthy than, you know, the third week of January. Hopefully we'll find out. Yeah. We're not sitting on any stories ourselves though. So if you have any news that you want to share, please let us know. We'd always love to keep up with it. But Caleb, busy week last week, front desk, major urban operator went out of business. Here, a fund to purchase and own shares of vacation rentals also went out of business. And then had two acquisitions. Operto acquired DAC for their front-facing guest app. And Uplisting was acquired by AirDNA. So I love both of those acquisitions. I don't love either of those closures. But at the end of the day, I think we all need to expect more of the same, more of that the rest of this year.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of just general activity as the year goes on. For some of us, we're going into high season, so this is a nice time of year. But for a lot of other people, this is kind of the beginning, or they're right in the middle of some of their tougher financial months. And I think that you'll maybe see in the spring kind of those cards unfold and see, you know, I think we'll see some more activity early Q2 as well.
Definitely. And not to shameless plug, but last week, Brandy and I got to be on a round table with other operators and going into certain questions and things. So I have a question from Michael from that round table, but also to plug our predictions episode and round table happening tomorrow. We're going to have both hotel and short-term rental crew of GMH on. And then, of course, we're going to have other podcasters in the HFM network. So definitely something to tune into. We're going to put those crystal balls to use. But Michael, one of the questions I got to ask everybody at the end of the roundtable last week was, what's one thing you've changed your mind on in the last 12 months? Brandy, I'm going to allow you to change your answer publicly on GMH since that you wanted to after that. But one thing for you, Michael, specifically, industry-related, not industry-related, whatever you want to go, but what's one thing you've changed your mind on in the last 12 months? And Brandy, if you maybe want to step in and just change yours and give Michael, like,
give me a second.
Sure. I was asked first and I had absolutely no time to think. And so I went from like a business perspective of like really trying to open my mind up to new changes within the business and business model and things like that. But that was just kind of a scary answer that I had to say off the top of my head. But I thought about it and like on like a personal level, which also touches into my professional life, it's really dedicating to making habits last. Like around this time of year, that's always super popular. But I kept an alcohol tracker. I tracked every single drink I had in 2023. And so if you're like, I don't really like, you know, it's not a lot. By the end of the year, you're like, okay. And so I'm going to continue to do that this year. And I'm trying to cut the amount that I tallied by half. And then also waking up at 5 a.m. I used to do it like off and on, but I really committed to like being part of that at least a couple days a week to get to the gym before work. And it makes a huge difference. So it's brutal when you're getting into it, but it's worth it if you can.
That 5 a.m. club is real. That early morning energy.
Yeah.
There it is. You snuck it in. I would say, if you're planning on starting a business, get some traction on it before you jump ship, because funding isn't what it used to be. So make sure the business is viable. You've got some pathway to traction and revenue, but the times of 2021, 2022 are over. So the macroeconomic environment has changed.
Yeah, I'm going to shameless plug a podcast I was on a couple weeks ago called Building the Biz, a new podcaster out here in Denver. And that was like my main message to any entrepreneurs is like, or new entrepreneurs that wanted to get into it, was there's nothing wrong with a side hustle first. Let it like become a side stream, because I remember my first business when I just jumped all in and had no proof of concept, no revenue, no nothing. And it was horrible. It was horrible. So yeah, great idea. Great advice. Awesome. I'm very excited for the predictions episode next week. A lot of it is going to go into what's going on into, you know, short-term rental, hotel space, travel in general. but I am very excited that we're going to jump into a little bit of data and conversation around Focusrite. And they supplied us with a report going into the sizing of the industry. And so for listeners, we'll make sure that you have the link in the show notes to get the report. But I'm going to kick it off with you guys. What were your overall thoughts? It seems like behind the scenes as we're chatting, it's a message of what we've all been talking about. It's going to be slow growth, but in some realities,
it's going to change. The key takeaway from the report that I had personally was we had monster growth in 2021. Like the data shows a 54% increase in bookings in 2021 in short-term rentals. So a lot of that's because hotels were closed during those years. People weren't going to cities. They were going to destination markets. So 54% growth. In 2022, that growth continued at a clip of 36%. Last year was about 19%. And as we continue on out to 2027, it will continue to grow, but in the single digits. So the fast-paced Wild West of the short-term rental growth has markedly slowed, which, you know, if you're building, again, back to companies that were funded in 2021, 22, if you're funding based off of this kind of growth, it's not there. So the fact that the industry is still growing is a fantastic sign. I think the biggest growth opportunity lies with what hotel operators might classify as hotels, but as they start rolling out their urban city center short-term rental brands. So I'm very curious to see how that piece plays out, but all in all, I'm still pleased to see that there's growth continuing on. So,
me too. yeah, I thought actually, you know, like we said, a lot of the kind of overarching themes are things that we all have been talking about, you know, funding being slow, that kind of thing. But Airbnb, one of their lines, Airbnb's actions matter very much. Like, yep. but one kind of like small paragraph that there wasn't a ton on, but it's about all of the regulations going through the EU and about like the transparency that's being required. And that might not seem super like monumental right now, but it could totally change the way all of your pricing is portrayed. There could be cutbacks or like more scrutiny around the fees that are being charged, that kind of thing. Because I know, for example, like when we send our fees out to Airbnb, they're all bundled into the cleaning fee, like and as it's presented to the guest, and some other sites do that as well. So I think that with, you know, when the EU makes regulatory changes like this, it impacts all the other markets because the OTAs or whatever company it is, like Apple, is totally changing the way all of their charging ports are because they lost the lawsuit in the EU, which I'm honestly here for. But that's just something like I don't necessarily know how that will all shake out. But I think that like those are big decisions that you have to pay attention to because there probably will be some sort of ramifications that come down the line.
For sure. And the other part of that report talking about startups and the kind of funding going into the certain verticals. And I kind of like seeing that different spread. I'm excited about outside of the short-term rental side. I'm going to rephrase this. I was really excited about Uber and what they were doing last, like 2 years in 2022, we got to talk about like Uber travel and how that was working. I get to experience it. I'd love the experience. Obviously it wasn't fully pushed out, but now that they've pulled back. So I'm interested to see how other either rideshare apps or cab calling apps or anything like that can really integrate into the travel vertical outside of just, you know, getting a car at the airport. Michael, I know you have a comment, but let me finish my thought or else you're muted. Are you new?
we're looking at the data, but the audience is not. So let's maybe set the landscape a little bit better. The report shows all of the different verticals that have been invested in across travel. So it's got short-term rentals, it's got corporate travel, air, OTA, scooter, bike, car rental, et cetera, and who've been funded in the past 2 years, essentially, and then the past 10 years total. And the segments that have been most funded in the past 2 years are the short-term rental, is the short-term rental segment and the corporate travel segment. So you've got some others that had monster funding rounds 10 years ago, like the Bird electric scooter and bike sharing, but those haven't been terribly funded over the past year or two. So it's good to see that there's lots of funding going into short-term rentals still. What I'd be curious of with that being broken out segmented wise is how much is debt and how much is equity, because we have seen the Avant Stays of the world raise mega amounts of money to deploy to purchase properties. And that's not equity. Those are debt funding rounds. And we saw one with Overmoon where also a debt funding round. So I think it might be skewing the data a little bit. I don't know, but it is regardless really, really good to see funding going into short-term rentals. The optimism is still there from investors, and it is the segment that has had the most active funding in the past 21 months.
Yeah, I get nervous about that sometimes because of the unfortunate front desk closure, and I mean, I'll save Sonder for my predictions episode, but I hope that this funding keeps flowing.
Well, to mention data and Avant Stay and other things, this is a perfect time to plug our partners at Sojo, because as I was talking with them and pulling the data behind the operations, which is a big conversation, not only from our other roundtables and episodes on Good Morning Hospitality, but if you are trying to save time, maybe decrease your inspection time, increase your number of cleans performed, decrease the complaints, all this other stuff, then Sojo will send you a free 30-day run of amenities for your properties. And of course, don't just take it from us, but take it from other big players like 360 Blue, Avant Stay, Prime Vacations, CondoRental.com, and many more operators that have used Sojo and use Sojo today in order to save time and money on their operations and turnover. So shout out to the Sojo team. Loved getting to hang out with Marsha here in Denver. And yeah, if you have any questions about Sojo, grab our link, get the amenities, and we're happy to help facilitate any conversations beyond that. But yeah, super interesting on the whole Focusrite report. So obviously we'll put that link in the show notes too for everyone to see everything. As Michael said, I was trying not to give the full context away, but you can go get the report yourself and check out everything they put there. To go into Overmoon.
Yeah. On that, I'm curious what y'all's take is on the HERE business model, which is basically investing in shares and having a kind of pooled equity growth versus, and I guess Overmoon is similar, versus a fractional ownership where you own a quarter or an eighth of a house and you're actually on the deed and you're a legit owner of it. So curious what you guys, we had an interesting chat pre-call about this, and there's a bit of disagreement on where each of us would prefer to put our money. But Brandy, thoughts?
Yeah, I think that there's just two different types of investors. So if you're putting the money in to invest in a REIT, and that's like, I think there's just more appetite for risk, or maybe a knowledge of investing in general. Whereas if you have just like maybe an average person who doesn't understand or isn't as like open to risk, and they, you know, do a fractional home ownership, but then that company goes out of business and they lose whatever money they've had, or it gets messy when, like, what do you do when you're dividing up that house? Do you sell it at a loss if that's the case? And like, you know, I just think that could get messy. Whereas like if you're investing in the REIT and you're like, okay, I have a broader knowledge of the financial system and like the mechanisms that go behind it, even if it is, or maybe it's riskier, or maybe it's, you know, but you go into that maybe with a bit more like eyes open to that situation.
Yeah. A lot of the fractionals will have a time horizon, 8 or 10 years, and say, we're selling it in 8 years. And there's a plus one clause that they can add another year to it if the market environment's not great. So a lot of that's kind of predetermined getting into it. There's not owner quarrels like you might have if you owned a house with your friends or your family on what to do and who needs cash now and whatnot. It's tying up your money for a set horizon. Now, owning an eighth or a quarter of a $2 million house is a lot more palatable than owning a $2 million house outright yourself. So I think it does give kind of vacation rental ownership ability to more people. And even then, you can still rent it out when owners aren't using it. But it's less of an investment in cash on cash returns and more of an investment on vacationing and holidaying. So they're definitely two very different types of personas that invest in it. And then even with here, I think their little slogan or tagline was invest as little as $100, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're going to $100 people to death. That's a long road to go. And quite frankly, it's no surprise they didn't make it with just having people invest a minimum of 100 or even 1,000 is just going to take so many people that it's going to be really hard to scale that business. And then from an operations standpoint, we heard they had some pretty serious challenges operationally as well.
Yeah. And last week, Dennis from Cassiola, who they also have their guest store arm, the investment arm that they do, mentioned he wasn't really surprised that they closed and the property types that they're investing in were just insane amounts of money for the quality of the actual home. So the homes themselves were actually that great, and especially in specific markets. So I'm very, curious when it comes to the Overmoon thing. The one thing I wasn't excited about reading their press release around their funding of debt and venture capital is that they're starting with Orlando or Florida in general. And I think like that's such a already oversaturated market, as Brandy knows, and I know. I have a home in Orlando and it sucks. Like it's not great returns like it was during COVID. Everyone and their mother and their grandmother and their nieces and their nephews and everybody in their family basically bought a home in Florida and started renting them out on Airbnb. And now it's just too much. So I'm not excited about the Overmoon strategy of going directly to Florida as like their go-to market to deploy this capital. I think they could have done better or found a way more interesting market that has probably way less saturation. But that's just my two cents.
Yeah, Brandy, Florida's popular. Yeah, I mean, first, I mean, I'm darling. A COVID darling. Yes. I mean, on one hand, I'm happy to see positive activity in the space, and you know, happy for Joe and his team that they have secured a path forward for now. You know, like that's great. And yeah, I mean, Florida is. I think Florida is becoming more and more difficult. Like if you have certain projections for these funds or for investors, I don't see a tremendous amount of growth. I think it will be flat over the next year, unless like all of a sudden, I don't know, 20% of the supply drops out, which I don't think is going to happen.
Or other states start locking down because of a virus and then Florida stays open.
Yeah, exactly. Unless these crazy circumstances happen. But we talked off camera about this, like, is this just more people going into a business model that doesn't work? Or is this the business model that does work? So, I guess we'll find out in a year and change, like how we can kind of tune in and see how things are going. What I do like is, you know, this is a really difficult industry. There are ways that this industry works well for everyone and the ways that it doesn't. People have tried, you know, like the arbitrage model, and then that worked really, really well for a while, and then it really, really, really didn't. And so I also give credit to people that are just trying to find new and creative ways to exist in this industry and be successful. So I hope they succeed, and we'll just kind of, I think learning lessons from all these people is important too.
Definitely. And so our December recap episode will probably have some sort of mention of this, maybe, hopefully not in a bad light, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, vacation rental operators have been around for decades and decades and decades. It's nothing new. I think scaling has been proven quite difficult for both the destination companies like Turnkey and Vacasa, and the urban folks like Saunders stock price. So it is tried and true that if you manage 100 homes in a destination market, unless you're fiscally irresponsible, that's a fantastic business. Growing it to 10 different markets has proven quite challenging for most folks.
But I don't know if 10 markets is like the goal, you know?
Exactly. It really comes down to like that segment is not really venture investable for investors. It's a fantastic, you know, solopreneur or joint venture business for folks. It's just not that you're going to make 100x returns on an early stage VC investment in the space. So
which is fine. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know we cover a lot of venture capital, private equity things. Like, there's nothing wrong with creating a nice, sustainable business that generates good profits and has good operations, good hospitality, good culture.
Like, and you get to live in Aspen, or you live in 30A, or you live in, you know, fantastic cool towns. So,
especially for the hotel people. Go ahead. Sorry. Well, I was going to say for hotel people too, I think like there's a group of people that got into short-term rentals and now are buying like boutique hotels, and they're trying to do like this big blitz scale thing in unit count, right? Like, okay, I had 60 homes. Now I want 60 doors in one building. And that's great too. But also I think it's okay to have just one hotel, run it really great and create like a really cool brand. A brand that I've been watching in the hotel space on the boutique side is Lodge, L-O-G-E.
Love Lodge.
You know, very love Lodge, like beautiful brand. And they had some big growth, I would say, during 2019 and 2020. But they're slowly just adding probably one property every year and a half, 2 years. And it seems to be a really sustainable model that they built a really good brand around. And, you know, just stuff like that is also exciting. I think, you know, we talk a lot of venture and private equity. It's okay to just be slow and steady and profitable, to say the least.
I mean, the sexiest thing is a business that exists and is profitable. So however you get there, and maybe like not trying to pull your hair out every day. So
yeah, 100%.
I think that's just part of business ownership.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least for the first 10 years. hoping to prove that wrong in the next few years, but it's certainly been that way.
One quick mention before we head out. I just wanted to, you know, Will, you were super into this company recently, and that was Cabana renting these kind of like tricked out vans. Van life was really popular, and they have gone out of business. And I can't say that I'm totally surprised, but I know this was kind of like a darling for you, Will. So
I know.
Condolences.
RIP. But hey, I will say this. If anyone from Cabana is listening, if you guys have a couple extra vans that you can't get rid of, Colorado is a beautiful state, and I'm happy to take them off your hands. That's what I'll say. Because I think that would be like going back to the comment of having like a nice, profitable company that's like slow and like local, like having three of those and running like a small fleet of that, I think that would be sick. Like, what a fun experience. There's no need to scale it and raise a ton of money. Just create something cool.
Is this going to be your 30th business venture that you just want to tack on to your schedule?
Don't do it, Will. Don't do it. Look, if you're if you want to go camping. If you want a cool outdoor experience, there's lots of really cool glamping locations, especially in Colorado. Yeah, if you want a hotel, there's great outdoor hotels. Why do you want to sleep in a car?
I think it's cool because you can pick either or. That. I could park at a hotel. I could use all the amenities and do all the stuff and like be, I don't know, that life just sounds so much fun. And I'm not the most adventurous person. So maybe that's why it's over glamorified for me, because I think it would be fun because I don't do that stuff. But anyways, I would love to invest if anyone's interested, you know, just saying I won't operate it, but I love that we just said
this company just went out of business, and Will's like, so I'm going to reboot it. If you want to invest, let me know.
locally, like get three or five, have a nice profitable model. Don't go anything too crazy. Run a lean team, use tech, all the stuff that we talk about. Let's apply the podcast to a business.
I'm like, Will's like, how do I decrease my stress? Let's add another hospitality business.
Three cars. What? Cars never break. Flat tires. What?
That's something you save. You take money out of profit and put into a maintenance account. You know, it's all right. Sorry.
Well, you know, I'm here to support your dreams. I'll just fund your self-care massage, like meditation retreat. So when things Thank really you. Spiral out, you can pull from that fund.
I will support you, Michael, by not letting you do this.
Michael, why can't you be more supportive like Brandy? Dang it. No, it was a darling of mine, but you know, can't win all of them. But oh gosh, you guys got me all sad.
Well, in terms of happy news, we had kind of touched on this last time, but it is the beginning of the year, kind of like rethinking everything you have going on in your personal life and maybe your professional life. So if you are in the market for a new PMS, our wonderful partners over at TravelNet Solutions have great programs for you at Track. And then if you're also looking to like zhuzh up your digital marketing, you can talk to them about their Atlas programs and kind of see what they can do to help you really enter 2024 with a bang. So you can find those links in our show notes.
I love it. Well, Michael, you're off to Dublin in like a day.
Yep, tomorrow our members retreat with all of the storied lords and ladies gathering in one house in Dublin. So I'll be a fish out of water, but should be a good time.
Exciting! Yeah, how long are you gone?
I'll be back this weekend. So quick trip.
Love it.
Dublin is one of my favorite cities. You should go to the Exchequer if it's still around. It's a great bar. Really fun drinks. All right, guys. Well, it's great seeing your faces as always.
Yes. And for our listeners, if you don't know, Brandy is pretty much like the guru on all the best places to go when you're in a certain city. She has great recommendations pretty much anytime we go anywhere. So hit her up if you ever need one of those. Just FYI. A little shameless shout out to you, Brandy.
That's my side hustle.
I love it. Well, okay, everybody that's tuning into the live, thank you so much. And of course, for all of our listeners listening to the recap, check out the show notes, sponsors, partners, webinars, predictions, all these things are going to be in there. And as promised, and as always, we'll see you guys all again next week.